It's another episode of the Chess Pod. My name is Thabo Tshabalala, and on this episode, I am joined by a broadcasting superstar who goes by the name of Smash Africa.
Uyazi uMzansi Stellaville is filled with flavor,
but you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Because
if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Smash, hello.
How are you? I would call you TT.
No. There's already a TT on
like,
radio.
I was like, sounds like a TT.
No, you can. Maybe I'm the new TT.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I'm good, man.
Are you good?
It's good to be alive.
Yeah.
I just come from recording my own podcast now.
I'm on a podcast as we speak.
So,
and how's the podcast? Live It Better. How's it going?
Live It Better is... it's a neglected child.
No, actually, you know, I watched your interview with Mpumi Mlambo because I love Mpumi. Yeah, I've known Mpumi. Yeah. She's someone I've respected. Yeah. So it was quite a dope episode.
Yeah. So like,
So
it's a neglected child in a sense that it's a by-the-by project,
yes,
to be honest.
Yes.
But it's also like meaningful conversations,
yes,
with my friends.
How
right?
you described it, yes.
So therefore, I do not need to do it on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
because a lot of times...
You can see the difference in how long you publish.
Yeah, how long. That's why like it's really like proper like...
That means you care though.
Yeah. I care about...
But the product.
I also care about like... people's availability,
yes,
my availability, yes, and also authenticity.
Yes, authenticity.
I can't say my friends and then Haribangari. Imagine I'm
not friends.
And imagine I bring you as Thabo and on Leave It Better.
Yeah.
And I pretend to be your friend and we've never even had a beer
proper
together.
Conversation.
Like
offline.
You know what I mean? So and because it's centered around people sharing their stories of leaving it better, whether it's in industry or in life.
Mm.
Or just whatever they are going through at the time.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it needs to be a weekly podcast.
And I think that's the reasons for podcasts. People forget. They think it's like a radio show, which is not. It needs to be meaningful. I don't want to watch a podcast and then I'm like, what did I actually learn from that podcast?
Yeah, but also, Thabo, you need to give people grace in terms of how they view things, right?
Mm,
so some people view podcasting as if it's consistent and people know, you'll get the following. I'm not doing it for
but
the following.
But you're doing it for numbers or following.
I'm not doing
right?
it. I'm doing it literally for like...
Because you're
there's a gap. There's a gap in the industry and I would like to talk about these things.
And you're not doing it for the money, right?
Yeah. It's also not that.
It's not a commercial thing. So
yeah,
the name Smash...
Sure.
Well, how did it come about? I know you're from Bloom.
Yes. I mean, it's such a boring story. I wish it had something like, I generally was like, we call them Smash because yeah, baga busy lo puti. Or he was breaking things. No, it wasn't. So my second name is Smilo.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know why one of the guys in my class decided to call me Shmilo. And then Shmilo... caught wind, like everyone outside
Smilo.
Of our Shmilo, because Smilo,
yes,
Shmilo, they added the sh in it, right? And then the sh became a smash.
Yeah.
And dude, literally, it never stopped. So,
yeah.
And crazy, I got this nickname probably in grade 10.
Yeah.
And how it becomes my on-air personality name or my AKA, if you like. I'm at Gov CFM. I'm interviewing to be an on-air presenter.
Yeah.
And they say, so what are you going to call yourself on air?
Wow. Was it one of those?
It was like, you know, and I was
light bulb.
Like, okay, cool. Everyone knows me as Smash, but I'd like my first name, Africa
to be there.
To also be part of it. And I was like, Smash Africa met the car.
Wow.
Because it's with a K and I'm in Bloom.
Yeah.
So it would make sense for me to say it in Afrikaans. Because if you say Africa with a K.
Africa with a K. Is
man, like, it doesn't have a ring to it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how the name came about and it stuck. My daughter sometimes calls me Smash.
Smash.
And it's weird.
So your love for radio, it's obviously, where did it start? I'm sure something motivated you to start.
Dude.
Some of the people who inspired you.
Dude, I think for me, so I used to love radio when I was growing up as a teenager, like getting ready for school, listening to the Mark Gilman show
Mark Gilman,
was like my thing, right? But I never thought like, hey, dog.
You would do it.
I would. No. I just wanted to be an actor, bro.
Yes.
You know, I never.
Gonna get
Yeah. I just. But like my passion or my first point of like, yo, I really love this thing was when I was doing campus radio and I'm there. And dude, Tabo, let me tell you a funny story, which I haven't shared with a lot of people. It's not even funny, but I like saying funny. But the amount of hours I spent doing radio when I was at Gulf CFM was insane. At some point, I would do a three-hour show. Everyone knows,
your normal
right?
Show, yeah.
That was in the evening. But outside of that three-hour show, I would read sports in the morning between 9 and 12.
Yeah.
And then, because I like things, if these guys wanted like a co-presenter or whatever,
I would jump in, right? Yeah.
So I would do two slots, Monday to Friday. One as a sports presenter, one as the main host.
I don't see you reading sports, dog.
let me tell you why I did that. I'm going to get to the point why I did that. And then I did the weekend show, which was a 4 to 7 show that happened on Saturdays and Sunday. So I was on air seven days a week.
Every day, actually.
And I'm not getting paid. But because I'm in Bloom, I had access to a car and my dad was pouring petrol. I was like, and if they needed a stand-in, whose hand was going to be at, you know? So the reason why I went this sports reading route, like Super Sports Blitz is still, for me, my favorite channel on the DSTV bouquet.
Because you get everything at once.
I get everything. Yeah. And because we had Compact.
Yeah.
So some of the sports highlights that you don't have access to, guess what?
You don't have the premium.
For over two minutes.
You get everything you
need. You
know,
you watch it on Super Sports Blitz. Yeah, and one of the things, I don't know, something said to me, if you read sports, you'll be able to tell or narrate stories a little bit better.
Yeah. But I'm sure it was hard reading like a Russian tennis name. Because, you know,
do you think I can?
Djokovic. Murukovic.
Bruh, even, you know, like, it's like one of the things, it's not a low moment, but a body moment that I've had on air was.
Or at them.
I interviewed this Oak on YFM. I was still doing Smash and Grab.
Yeah.
This bra, let me call him by some other name that was not his. The whole interview. And at the end of the interview, off air, he's like, yo, dog, my name is not that. It's this.
Actually, it's this.
And I'm like.
And you feel like you are like.
And I'm
like,
I'm hype, dog.
But I'm talking about
the wrong guy. But I think also nerves child.
But before deep into the interview, the importance of campus radio, because I don't think people understand that you can't just go into radio and think you'll be on YFM. Like with me, for example, I also started on campus radio, worked for free in my own hood. To someone who's listening to this, who wants to be a broadcaster, just explain the importance of starting at home.
I am well aware that not everyone has the privilege of going to an education of higher learning institution or, you know, further their studies or even have like a matric, right? So you might think, oh, campus radio is a far-fetched thing because I'm not at that university or whatnot. But, well, you can get in if you are persistent and if you knock on the right doors.
Yes, you can, yeah.
So that's the first part. The question was the importance of starting at home.
At home, yes.
When we are at home, we are not required to put on things. You don't have to dress up nice so that people that you are working with can see that unalestayle or you can afford expensive brand names, right? So you don't have to put on anything. And at home is going to be your most basic you that you're going to be on air and you're going to find your voice in the basic you and then you're going to add on all the other influences as you grow, right? And home is also another place where they celebrate you, dog. So if you're going to kick ass at home, you best believe when you are going out in the world, people are going to be like, we mess with that guy, right? So that's the first part.
Yeah.
Community radio stations are also a pivotal part in you getting or taking off your broadcasting career. Because if you know what's happening in the community... you are going to be the main dude that the community wants to hear about the community.
Yeah.
Because nobody writes about what's happening in Rocklands.
No.
Go Sporto, go Blumanda. But if there is a Motewa FM and the radio DJs from Motewa FM are living around those areas, it makes it work. Like him on a go Sporto, kai, or go Makufe. Like using landmarks that the locals know and narrating a story brings the story to life.
They're relatable to you because you're from there. Boom. That's one thing I realized.
So the reason why I also think I worked in Joburg in terms of doing campus radio in Joburg as well. I lived in the streets, not like as a street child.
No, I get you.
I'm homeless. Dog,
But
there are people who don't like their beds.
Yeah.
Because their beds are uncomfortable.
You know
those beds that have a skippy sound? tiki. Like, when you are turning, it's like tiki. And if you're a light sleeper, so you hardly ever sleep, so you're forever in the street.
Yeah, because you always want to be busy.
I was that dude, dog. Yeah. I remember when I moved to Joburg in 2010, the 23rd of December.
Yeah.
When January 2011 started, I was just like everywhere. I wanted to know what's happening.
And I know you joined VAU there.
Yes,
and
I joined VAU.
Was it different? Because, I mean, there's a difference between... I'm from the Free State too. When I got to Josephine, I was like...
I arrived in New York and people in New York thought I was from New York.
Oh, wow.
What?
But you're not scared in any way, dog. You know,
of what?
I don't know. When I got you, I'm like, hey, now I'm used to the chilled vibes. When I got you, I'm like, how am I gonna do it?
Nah, bruh.
Yeah. How am I gonna make it?
I don't know, man. Like, also, like, it, like, it's maybe just how I'm wired, pretty much all my life, I've always been in front of people.
Yeah.
So if I'm not doing speeches, I'm in the Sunday school in front of kids.
Oh,
if we're not singing or making, coming up with Sunday school groups to sing and perform to raise money, I'm the guy who's organizing the trip with the guys. I'm always in front of people. And I'm always in front of strangers.
And you can be yourself in front of strangers.
That's the only thing I know how to do, bro. So I wasn't scared. I was I literally arrived here and I was like, and I remember how pompous and arrogant and entitled
something
I was when I walked into the Voice of Vids offices and said to Mike Smirnoff at the time, I'm like, yo, bro, they said I must come to this radio station because your radio station needs me.
Oh, wow.
He looked at me and was like, who are you? Here's my business card. Send me an email via.
Just send me a demo.
This is the time when Voice of Bits, getting in and out of Voice of Bits was not so hard because the security was intense.
That was intense. The Vistas Museum there. It's like, you have to go up. It's like,
But like, let me tell you where this thing came from.
I was about to ask, where did that thing come? Because
the night before I went to Voice of Bits, I was at the 5FM studios with Nicole Da Silva shadowing her show that was at midnight to 3.
Mm.
Most people are not even willing to shadow a graveyard slot.
You know, because you're like...
Because you want to hang out with the drive time guys.
The drive time, you know, prime time.
Of air, I was like, I don't know. Mid-morning DJ Fresh.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Dog, that shit is not getting you a job.
Yeah, it won't. It won't.
Right?
It will never.
And Nicole Da Silva said to me, yo, bro, I'm going to be working at Voice of Vids. And
I think she was the program manager at the time.
Yeah, just before, she was like, I'll be working there soon enough.
Yeah.
So I think your personality is dope.
Yeah.
So that gave me the confidence of like...
to go in.
Someone who's going to come in. She's not in yet. But Mike does not know I was hanging out with her. All like, I arrived in the figure, dog.
I can't believe you went to Mike. I can't imagine his face. Like,
Mike was like so annoyed by me.
Who's this kid?
He was... I mean, we're good friends now, but he's always retelling, he's like, what a prick.
And then you moved to Y. Yeah, like, how was that? Because now you're moving into, I'm hosting a show with Atoli B, and you're a co-host. How did you... You know, I know there's no difference, but I think people don't understand how much you can learn from a co-host because you're with Atoli B, and you're on an afternoon drive-time show.
Only God can do things like that.
Sure. Like, that is big, bro.
I feel like, you know, especially when your path is like ordained.
Yes.
God opened the doors. Nobody's going to close them.
Yeah.
It's like when God decides to close the doors, nobody's going to open them.
You didn't walk into YFM and say, yo, this station needs me.
I've got a story.
Please share, bro. What's the story?
So Tolly B calls me.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, bruh, I'm looking for a co-host for a corporate radio station.
Yeah.
He does not tell me that I'm auditioning for YFM because he can tell kapap.
Yeah.
So I was like, I will tell the whole mall that I'm going to do an audition.
And this is the time when social media is not popping.
It's like, not popping. But don't forget, I guess I'm still at Voice of Brits.
Yes. So they want everyone to know.
So he calls me on this fateful Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm working in retail at the time, whatever. Yeah, no, can you come to YFM on Monday?
Mm.
Okay, cool, sure. But I'm like, why am I going to YFM if I'm doing like a corporate radio station thing?
Mm.
Anyway, I don't tell anyone that it's happening.
You're probably so confused.
Because he sold it that way. Lo and behold, now I'm auditioning on the show that he was currently doing.
On the show.
Just before they gave him the drive time show. So he used to do the 6 to 9 slot.
Nine,
Maji. Hi, Gelinda. Go YFM.
Why not? What are you feeling inside, bro?
So finally, I'm like, I'm inside. I've been sending YFM demos ever since I started doing campus radio. No replies, nothing. Yeah. So eventually, I get in this building.
Yeah.
Hi, kids. About to drive time.
Yes.
Do you think Smash is gonna be calm?
No.
Dog, I'm greeting everyone like I'm already working there. I'm like, yo, what up, dog?
Are you good, dog?
I'm like, yo, man, Scoochie. Yeah. What do you do here, dog?
You want to know.
Security camo pipe.
Even everyone.
The only thing that was missing was for me to jump on top of the tables and be like, guys, are you ready for me?
This is my time.
So I go in there and at the time, Pindi the producer is watching me. Like,
what is this?
Who's this guy? Hey, bruh. They opened my mic.
Apologist.
That confidence was like, you just opened my mic. You didn't tell me that I must speak.
Yeah.
Because they are mad. They're like, so they switch off the mic. They play some music.
Yeah.
Come back now. Open my mic. Yo. I go off.
Just go on and off and
I go off. I go off. What was a moment of humility was when the callers were like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
We want to hear his opinion. We want to hear his view. Throw him at it.
Yeah.
And the rest was history. So I didn't know that there were other guys who auditioned before me. So he had done auditions.
With other people.
And I think maybe going to get number 7 or number 8. Yeah. One of the last people.
Yeah.
And then they said, we found the guy. Because you know what I did not do? I did not try and fit the mold. I just came as I am.
As you are.
Dude, in the morning, on that fateful day, I went to Voice of Buzz to do my breakfast show.
Like,
a microphone is not a foreign
thing. Not, you're not scared of it. You're not going to access it. Talking to people. Why.
Mondays are my off days. Yes. I just take a break. So it gave me like, the only thing I'm doing is radio and then get chased.
Then you chase.
So I got like a full day to really mentally prep myself
for that moment.
For that moment.
And you didn't know, dog. You actually
And I did not know I'm auditioning for a drive time show and what.
And why?
It's when he called me on my way to work. And he was like, dog, you know that corporate radio gig?
Mm.
It's not, bruh.
For why?
It's for YFM.
Yeah.
Drive time.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And then you move into Graveyard where everyone is supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is supposed to move there before they get there. How was that?
It was tough.
And why is that?
It was tough because you are young.
Yeah.
You have all of this power.
Mm.
You have this platform.
People are starting to also know you as well.
I couldn't care a damn.
Thank you.
Like, even.
I love that.
Like,
you don't care what
why, like, Ibna, I just want to say this, ne? I just want to say this. And this is just like my opinion and my viewpoint here. So people know you. Then what?
Yeah. Then what?
Then what?
Yeah.
Like I said, I've always been in front of people all my life. Yeah. It doesn't change or make me any better than the next person that I'm going to bump into. I don't need to perform for you. Yeah. And life is not a spectator sport. People who let fame get to them are always looking for spectators. Dog, sharp.
Yeah.
Glory belongs to God and God alone.
As you said, it was hard. I'm just trying to
Like you're doing breakfast,
you are
young.
Wake up in the morning.
No, not waking up in the morning. You are young. And what that means is
graveyard. I mean, if you start a show at 3, you should be there.
Let me paint this picture for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just come from doing a drive time show.
Mm.
It's hot. Great team, great people. Mm. It's great. Mm. Everybody knows you, or I guess people recognize your voice, yes. and then you are given your own show, you still have a full day to yourself.
Still have a full day.
What are you going to do with that day? I talk to my friends who are done at work. We hang out. We drink some beers.
So you
sometimes I go home at 9 o'clock. I get home. I'm tossing and turning. I can't sleep. It's 10 o'clock.
And you don't sleep at all.
Let me go to work.
Let me go to work.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
And my point that I'm making is sometimes you are the bait.
Mm.
I was used as a bait. Like Lamithi Smash Freak.
Mm.
He's our friend. He's coming here.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
I hear what you're saying.
All of those things can be tough, dog.
Yeah, I hear you.
They can be really tough. And that was tough. And then I quickly remembered a conversation Tolibia and I had because I was so happy about being part of the YFM Drive Time team. I literally drank every day. And because the shift started at 3 p.m., and I'd arrive at work at like 1:30. I got time to recover the babalas. And when you are younger...
I wonder how you...
When you are younger, when you are younger, dog, you think you are powerful.
Yeah, you can go on and on and on and on.
He literally called me to the side before the show. It's like, yo, dog, you are dope. You're not dropping the ball. But I'm just concerned about the amount of fun you are having. It's going to catch up with you. Look out. And, you know... I would kuza myself. I was like, I know this one is getting harder.
Wrong, bro, because I
control, I discipline, just... bro. If you want something badly.
Yeah.
And remember, like, let's be fair. History does not favor those people who are not disciplined.
Mm.
Does not favor those people who don't have a work ethic.
Mm.
And most importantly, you're going to be on the wrong side of history if you are lazy, you are always drunk, and you are a cuck human being.
But sometimes
general.
We do make those mistakes as human beings, right?
I was allowed to make those mistakes.
I mean? I think people forget that.
Yeah, yes, but yes, I was yes. allowed. Like, Tony B did not come down on a ton of bricks. Like, don't you dare do that. He was like, my G.
Do it, but
get choice out.
It's your choice.
Do you know what I mean? I think most importantly... That was one thing that brought me back to, or centered me.
Mm.
And then after that show, I did one of the toughest shows to do, a 3 to 6 show.
3 to 6.
How do you do a 3 to 6? You must go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
And now sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard to sleep at that time.
That time I'm a skater boy.
Yo.
I don't have my, I think I had sold my car because it was giving me too many problems.
Mm.
No, I like it. I'm like a skateboard to public transport.
You used to skateboard too, why?
And... Uber was black at the time.
Obviously, you didn't live far from Y then.
I lived in Marshalltown. When I was doing 3 to 6, I was living in Marshalltown.
And wasn't Y in Rosebank at the time?
Rosebank, no. Y is in Hyde Park at the time.
At the time. So
I would skate from Marshalltown to the Gautrain station, catch the Gautrain.
If there's a part in Josie where it feels like it goes...
Hey, I get after show.
Yes.
It's up here. When I'm going to work,
you don't need.
It's like how many hours do you call? It's like when you are traveling far.
Yeah.
You always feel the distance and the hours.
Yes,
when you are going back home,
you don't.
It feels shorter.
Yeah, it does.
For me, going to work was shorter.
Ah, no, dog.
Coming back from work because it chases like a 60.
Yes.
I'll catch the first Gautrain bus to Rosebank.
To Rosebank.
Take the Gautrain.
Yeah.
To park.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, dog, there's not enough credit in here to catch
so
a bus.
You skate down. Okay.
It gave me like so much walking in the city and watching people commute gave me so much
and at
content.
That time, it's like rush.
Dog,
like
I was hot on radio. Like the way my mind was working, this kind of stuff that I was coming up with. It was because like God wanted it to be that way. You must live in the CBD.
Yes.
You must be on a skateboard. Because if you're driving, you're not seeing as much
people.
As person who's on a skateboard or who's a pedestrian.
Yes.
Or who's using public transport.
Yeah. And then smash and grab happens.
Oh.
Now it's like
that's when
prime time.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The pressure there. Did you feel any pressure? Because I mean, that's a prime time slot. I on my radio. And at that time, I think the show was starting at 5. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it 5 a.m. now?
No. So.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, Tap was the one who came up with the 5 o'clock.
Oh, sorry.
And remember, Tap was doing the show before I did the show.
Yes.
But I think the 5 o'clock thing came when he came back.
I don't know why. I thought it was 5 a.m.
It's the same reason like why people also think like, yo, Kitab. People used to think Uncle Tab, and that thing used to annoy me.
Yeah, the pressure's there. Was there any?
Nah.
Because it's breakfast now. Because
the pressure,
you're waking
the
up
pressure
people.
Was not from my ability to do radio, but rather like external pressure.
Yes.
The sales department yes. would give you unwarranted pressure.
Because now you like have a
and
lot
I
of
thought,
live reads.
And I thought, like, what nonsense is this?
Yeah, now you have to.
But now there are young people. I have understanding and grace, and I have forgiven those people.
Yeah.
All they needed to do is, like, we support this guy.
Mm.
And we are going to kill it with this guy.
With this guy.
But you know, people and people are people. They'll make things that are not things a thing.
Yeah.
Ah, but he didn't execute it on the time we said.
The live
did he execute it though? Yes. Yeah. What are you mad about?
And sometimes you're forced to do interviews that you don't really.
That's part of the business. That was us like, put on your big boy pants off. Get on with the business.
You can't say anything.
It's literally that. Yeah. Bro. Like, you're going to have a situation where you're going to have to speak to someone
you don't
really want to speak to.
Yeah.
But because of the business, they bought airtime. Let them enjoy the airtime.
Yeah, that's the thing about, like,
you know, don't,
yeah.
You know?
And then your dream comes true, if I were to say. You move to a place where it's ironic. You are shadowing Nicole at 5. Now you on 5.
Yeah, God is good.
Yo, God is good, man. Live at night. I actually watched
that show was so
when
nice.
When you went live on
easily
Instagram.
Like that was easily like my favorite radio show.
Yeah.
Of all the shows that I've done in the history of radio.
And what would you describe that as, your best radio moment?
No, my favorite radio show, not my best radio moment. Like, best radio moments yet to come, dog.
Okay.
I'm
still yet to come.
Yeah, dog. Okay. Like, best radio moment.
It hasn't come to you?
Nah, dog.
Okay, but it looks like you're enjoying that show.
That's what I'm saying. Best radio show experience in terms of favorite.
Yes.
Favorite radio show.
Yeah.
To host. And I did it for 5 years.
Yeah,
and
it
was
for
amazing.
A long time.
And you know what I'm also so proud of?
Yeah.
Like, and now that you are mentioning it,
yeah.
I'm proud that I hung my headphones at the right time.
Yeah.
When I left,
Think you.
No, I think I'm a firm believer. Like, we don't need to hog radio.
No, we don't.
Okay, a good dancer knows when to step off the stage.
I think you're still dancing. You still have a few steps left.
No, I'm talking about a good dancer on a specific stage.
On a specific stage.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Yeah.
We are at the Market Theatre.
Yeah.
And this is an era where the old dispensation, the old regime, is done and dusted.
Yeah.
This is a time in 1994.
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela is now the
president.
First democratic president
of this country.
Of South Africa.
Yeah.
Hugh Masekela comes back to South Africa, hasn't performed in South Africa as a big name artist ever.
Ever.
He comes back and the Market Theater packs up.
Mm.
But he doesn't come alone. He's the headliner.
Mm.
He's coming back with who? His friends, who's made music with.
Who's mean,
they perform.
Yeah.
Sold out show.
Yeah.
Do you think the show ends at the Market Theater? No. Mm-hmm. They go to Kipis.
And now it's a
jam session with other brewers.
Yo.
And
yo.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, yeah.
5 nights for me represented a full circle moment. I moved to Johannesburg to be an on-air personality on 5FM. Same. I got to achieve it on my terms,
and
I get to leave on my terms. You know, there's nothing like saying, I want a contract, a dog. You know when they tell you there's no contract?
Yeah.
Now I was like, nah, guys, I want a new show. Like, we don't have a new show. I was like, all right, it's cool, man.
Yeah, you hang there.
I'm out. In fact, I'm going through enough in my personal life.
And then as you're doing the show now, Channel O comes and says, we have this show called Massive Music.
So
I
got Massive Music while I was doing breakfast on Wine.
Yes,
funny enough.
Yes.
And it was good. So I got to also practice my radio career.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, my TV,
career
while I was at YFM. Yes. We did a show called Ground Zero.
Ground Zero, yeah.
Yeah, where we I guess you could say everyone is learning TV, but we had Y Academy, which was a massive incubator.
They rejected me, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good.
It's okay. Look at you now. So Y Academy was great because they came up with a show called Ground Zero to follow the journeys of the contestants. I got to be the presenter of that show without knowing that it's actually preparing me for TV.
Mm.
And when I did the how I got the Massive Music, gig. Yeah. YFM was doing a press run to show off their new lineup. I went to Vuzu. And because I was doing the breakfast show, I was the first guy to go on. I went on and I did that Vuzu interview. Not even interview, co-presentation of the show.
Yes.
And man,
I miss those days, man.
I killed that show, man. I killed that show. Ghana, who's this guy? I forget his name, man. He was a presenter on Vuzu.
It's not starts with an S.
I forget his name, man. He was in the rap group, Yako Debe. He's going to hate me for this if he listens to this interview. It's like, Smash, how can you forget me?
I went blank there.
I went blank. So this guy says to me at the end of the interview, Smash, dog, you killed me on my own show, dog. I think TV's ready for you. And I was like, alright, can the boss of the show be late?
And then they're like,
the boss is on TV.
Samo, we need him.
You know what I mean?
Like when you went to Mike, now they're like, we need him.
And exactly. And that's how they said, man, we just saw that tape of yours. And
we need you.
Killed it. And I was not even trying to kill it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, man. Yeah. God bless.
Did you enjoy your time on that show lastly before?
Massive Music?
Brother? Yeah, Massive Music.
Massive Music?
Yeah.
Massive Music. Man.
You had fun.
I just want to say, thank you, South Africa, for allowing us the opportunity to broadcast from the Mnet studios direct into your house. At a time where amapiano is an up-and-coming genre. And we are in the front and privileged to put on these artists who are global sensations when nobody else cared. When nobody else was not. Like, we were literally a vessel, bro.
You were.
So that's the first thing that I want to say. Yeah. Like, Massive Music was that.
Yeah.
Massive Music was the last remaining music lifestyle show.
That week.
We are the generation that grew up with music lifestyle shows, bro. When artists drops a music video,
we wanna
they
watch
drop
that
it
show.
On that show.
That was
now
me.
YouTube has taken that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to be a part of that. I also got to work with like one of the best presenters in the world. From Lala to Anele to Pamela, to myself.
And I look at all of you guys and I'm like, you're
hot, right?
Yeah.
And most importantly, the crew and the production house behind it, Massive Music is a massive institution when we talk about South African music. It spoke to that.
Yeah.
I remember a time when Ricky Rick came to Massive Music.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I remember a time when we found out that Ricky Rick is no more.
Oh, man.
He was actually booked to come to Massive Music on that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember a time where you're like, this is unreal. AKA and Anati have
an album
together. And guess what? They're going to give us
an exclusive
performance.
I remember watching that. Because the launch of the show, I was like, what is this? I need to watch this.
Dog, I will forever be
grateful.
Eternally grateful for that platform.
And now we move on to Big Brother. Actually,
crazy.
Before we get to Big Brother, I know you're the founder of African
Urban Nights.
For someone who doesn't know what AUN is.
Damn,
AUN. It looks like it's a...
Dog,
it's a,
I think,
there's
I
a
think
lot happening
I'm
there.
Even getting goosebumps, Nyana, because I don't know, man. AUN was this brainchild of mine where I thought Africans can come together in music, fashion, and food. And that's why I threw parties that came with that, brought that. That'd be a theme. I just give them champagne for free. we'll have a menu that's curated.
But it was a good idea.
The music.
It still is.
I had the energy to be a promoter. I don't have the energy now. That's why, like, I I haven't gone back to it.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful era.
We still need
it. It's a beautiful era.
We still need that. I think.
I don't know. Maybe, man.
Think about it.
I mean, nowadays, I realize this. I don't have to do everything myself nowadays. Yeah. I can delegate.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it should, too.
We don't have. We don't have that in
No, we don't. At
I'm
all.
Trying to think. It's very few.
Maybe let's see what God is going to do in April.
Yeah, let's see what God's going to do. So Big Brother comes, and I know you've been a fan of the show.
Yeah.
I know your favorite contestant was Umal.
Yeah.
The first ever Big Brother. How did you get the show? Okay, obviously I know you got the show because I heard you. How you got the show because I know I heard you on a podcast.
Oh, talking. You listen to that other stuff?
I do, bro. I do. So how... How did you feel when you got it? When you said,
bro,
Big Brother,
I was
you
like, are finally the broke days are done.
Live television.
I said, the broke days are done. Look at you guys. Imali,
Imali. You know?
That is a different answer from all the answers I've given.
You know, now you're playing with the big boy.
So two parts. Mm. You asked me how did it feel when I found out
when
I got
you found
it.
Out you got this
so job, you yeah. must you must also like I want us to backtrack.
Yeah.
I auditioned for this show virtually.
Virtually.
I get called back to do a screen test with only 60% voice. At the end of the screen test, these people they were like,
what's going on?
How do I voice about you? We feel but your presence.
Feel your presence. Yeah, presence.
And I was like, wow, God did, right? Did. And like going back to that analogy, when the door is open, the door is open. So it felt like, I felt honored. I felt excited. I felt privileged. Mm. I also felt like this is God say, you'll forever be taken care of me, right?
Yeah.
And also, I'm reflecting on this as I'm saying that. And I was like, it's a good thing that I'm not an to work with, because so many people that are on that Big Brother set, I've interacted with them some way somehow.
Yeah.
And if I was an asshole,
if you're an asshole,
I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Like probably like what's that, right, man?
And then the first live show happens. You wearing this imprint. It was imprint, ne?
The second outfit.
The second outfit. The blue. Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your trip? And how you are showing it off.
Yeah,
on those live shows.
I'm like,
what inspires a trip, though?
I'm like, I'm so grateful that I have the confidence that I have.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for South African designers.
Yeah.
Without them, I wouldn't look this fly.
Yeah.
Even on Massive Music, when people would compliment me.
I think you, Jay, in person.
It was not because just me doing it alone, right? And also there's a wardrobe team.
Yes.
Kwanele is, basically in charge of wardrobe on Big Brother Mzansi season 5. And she's been part of it for the past four seasons.
Mm.
Dog, you need to believe in your own riz.
Mm.
And that is without clothes.
Yeah.
Once we dress that riz, like I believe in my
dog. I know.
I get naked right now. It's like, look at this sex. Right? Like this is just me at home.
I get you at home,
right?
Yeah.
But like when I put on clothes and I'm like, ooh.
This looks.
I look like Milan Fashion Week.
Fashion Milan.
Or I look like African Fashion Week. Or I look like something that hasn't been seen. Or I look like, I don't know if you've seen Dune on Showmax, right? Or I look like what those guys wear, the costumes that they wear in the craziest films.
Mm.
And I'm like, I feel it, dog.
Mm.
And she brings it through.
To life.
Dog, like, I'm like one of those people is like, there's nothing he wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
And even when I was looking at, like, there's a picture.
Those Asian hats, I first saw them from you.
You see what I went to Thailand. And I came back with this thing, dog.
What is this nigga wearing? And then they started
doing it,
that's
right?
That's mess.
And that's also, mess. Also, like, there's another designer, Note, right?
Yes.
He also has, like, this crazy Cambodian-inspired wear. And it's, like, baggy. And it's, like, ngalaki. But you're not sure. Versus an Asian-inspired.
Kind of
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where they meet together.
Yeah.
So my shout out and the credit is due to the wardrobe team and South African designers. And like, but I think you should love also
give yourself credit.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because niggas wouldn't just, you like, they would be like, nah, that's I'm
why
not
I said,
sure.
That's why
I'm
I say, sure. Like, the risk I get is internal. Yes, yes, it's without the clothes.
Without the clothes,
and
yeah.
I put them on and I'm like, let's go with this. Let's try it. It's like, even, I mean, I don't know when you're going to post this podcast. Yeah. But in episode 2, the second eviction night live show.
Yeah.
Because we have the launch show, we have the first eviction, the first and eviction, then second eviction show. Bruh, that fit.
Yeah.
That fit is a one of one.
Yeah.
Sakile, who is the owner of Sash SA, made that fit, did not like the color. I saw it.
And you're like,
I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I want to wear it. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, because when you wore the imprint fit, I was like, Mzuki's makes clothes for guys. Why didn't I know that? I didn't know. I was like, he makes clothes for dudes. Because, bro, when I see imprint, I'm like, I wish they made those clothes for guys.
And then he also dresses like he's dressed some of my homies.
Yes,
don't know if it's a special thing. And he's also dressed me in some of the stuff,
bro,
right?
We need to wear that. We need to wear that.
So,
yeah.
But the thing is, like, dog, clothes have this everlasting impression on human beings. It's like music. It's like a nice talk. It's like a good vibe.
People remember you.
So I love clothes because of that, man.
And just my final question, I mean, dog, you know as a public figure, negativity will always be there. In life.
Let's not even.
It'll always be.
Don't put me in a hot seat.
I'm going to push you like
as a human being. As a human being. You'll go through trials and tribulations. But believe in Jesus to save.
And I think social media has made that ish even worse. First night of Big Brother happens, the launch, and you are seeing all these comments online, negative comments. How are you taking them?
I didn't
comparison, like how do you take that?
I didn't pay them any attention. No, so I'm gonna put this to you,
please.
100,
bro.
My G. Yeah. I mean, I've been 100 since the start interview. Yeah. When you are going through life and you are wearing a white shirt. It's spotless. You leave your house. You get into the car. You say, okay, I need some coffee. And then while the person is giving you the coffee, it spills not from that person's hand, but spills while it's in your hand. But as it spills, you see the spill coming. It lands. Ne? But you don't see, it stained your shirt.
Yeah.
Somewhere you don't, towers. But you know, okay, sharp. And then you go to work. Someone who is your work wife hugs you because they're back from leave.
Yes.
Like someone you really appreciate, they hug you. They put on makeup on you. It's a white shirt. Remember,
you
still don't see it. I know you are in the emotions of the pumga and wam.
And I haven't seen it so long. Yeah.
And then it's time for you to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And now you are looking at yourself in the mirror. And you are seeing your beautiful white shirt with a coffee stain there at the bottom. And a makeup stain here at the top. Are you going to rip that shirt of yours? Are you going to go and buy a new white shirt? Nope. Are you going to be mad at yourself? Nope. So how am I going to deal with people's comments on social media that I choose to focus on, whereas whether I focus on it or not, I'm not going to change the fact that they've put it out there.
You can't.
That's the first part. And that's why I'm using the analogy of the stains, shit. Right?
Can't go away.
They are not going to go away. Now, when you get home with that stained, white shirt, and your child is full of mud or dust, you going
to
push that child away?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You are probably, if you have a real heart and a loving heart, you are not going to care about staining your, whether it's clean or dirty.
It's your child, yeah.
Right? Now, you could go the whole day focusing on the stains that you have. But let me tell you one thing. It's not going to make the stains go away. Right?
Yeah.
And it's also not going to make the fact that you had nothing to do with these stains, apart from choosing to have a work relationship with someone that you appreciate and seeing them and giving them affection. You wanted a coffee at that point. So you must be crucified because you wanted coffee. So hence I'm saying, every time I go on social media and I read anything negative about the show,
what do you do?
I go like, well, that's a negative one. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
All right, cool. It's too many negative things. Yeah. Let me stay away from the comment section. Let me enjoy the other things. No, I don't switch them off. For what?
Nah, I mean, just...
So, and then I will do something great.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh, you did something great. Yeah. But you know what I also don't do? Mm. I don't stay in that, smash, space. You are great, you did it. It's the same energy, bro.
Yeah.
Negativity is going to come, positivity is going to come. But when we start this day, we are starting it with a clean canvas, no stains whatsoever. But I will not dwell on something I have zero control over.
And what is the one thing you enjoy about, you know, season 5 of Big Brother Umlilo?
I'm the presenter.
Wow, dog, besides that, bro. No, what is the
thing? I'm just being Kanye West about that.
Hey, bro, you've been. What's up? you have similarities to you.
Because I was listening to his album on my way.
Which one?
The Life of Pablo.
Oh, which song?
As I was driving in, I was listening to Fade.
Fade, yes. I feel it.
Now you're going off. What was your question? What do I love about this season?
What
I love the most about this season is that the theme.
Yeah.
The housemates are like, hey, bro, they're hitting the mark with the
really
theme.
They really are. Yeah, and because you know when sponsors start complaining, you know you're doing something right.
Hey man,
no, I'm just saying, hey, dog. That's my comment.
Hey man,
bro, if they start complaining, you know these ones are doing something.
You know, so the first part is that the theme is on point with the housemates. Yeah, yeah. The second part is that I get to work with an amazing team. Mm. The live team is amazing, but the people who have also become amazing, because like we've got different departments. The teams that have also become really amazing and they've become part of family is the creative directors team, as well as the house executive team. So it's like there's a lot of warmth, there's a lot of like, I don't know.
It seems like it's a hectic, like
it's got too many. Yeah, it's got too many moving parts.
You move.
It's got too many moving parts. But like I'm saying, from feeding the information, like what's happening in the house, having to WhatsApp.
Yeah.
One of the guys like, "Hey, we're born. Are you watching what's happening?"
Yeah, yeah.
Those things make it easier for me to execute the job.
Execute the job. Yeah.
The last thing that I love the most about this show is that I'm actually addicted to the show.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned it every, like,
and I'm like. I just thought I just come here. And now I'm like, because I'm addicted to the show, I'm also the presenter.
Yeah.
So I need to toe the line. You know what
being
I mean?
Like a fan of the show, it's not being the host of the show.
When I'm at home,
you're the fan.
It's cool, bro. It's cool. I don't even tweet about it because once I do that, then we'll be missing.
You're taking a side now.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
and
when
I engage, I can't. But I get to enjoy it at home.
Yes.
And it's crazy. So I mean, some of my close friends, like every time I'm done doing the show, jump on a call. We jump on the show, and all of these people are not like in one group. Like I'm talking to individuals,
so their views
are always like different. Yeah. And I'm like, did you see that?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I really love. The last thing is. I look forward to what this journey is going to bring.
Not for me, for the person who wins 2 million rand.
You know what I mean?
You know, the winner of Big Brother, I think of last year, I'm like, where is the winner of Big Brother?
He's chowing the money.
Yeah, that's what my colleagues are saying. The rest, you know, they're trying to get that money.
He's chowing the money.
but this is my final shot. My colleague Demi is like, wrap up. How's fatherhood been?
How's that been? It's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
It's a blessing, man.
Okay, thank you so much.
Next thing, they're going to come for my babies, man.
But, I mean, you're doing it for the babies.
Nah. It's a blessing.
You're doing it for the babies. You're doing it for the babies.
We are blessed that we have children.
Smash. Thank you so much for joining me, dog. Thank you so much. This was great.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And I just want to say, yo, big love. We appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for also taking time to put on our stories out there and sharing that.
Yeah.
Big Brother Mzansi Season 5, Humlilo. Don't miss the live eviction show every Sunday, 6 p.m. I'm your host, Smash Africa. For everything else, la itakere. Letarabona mo internet ding.
It's for the babies.